Valencia appears at Crazy Donkey, and we have Big Time Metallica over at Nassau Coliseum. Thanks for listening to WUSB Stony Brook. If you want your band posted, contact us at scene@wusb.fm and keep your dial tuned to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock, and this is Emmanuel Goldstein. An important announcement concerning the program airing at this time. We have aired Off the Wall since 2003, and now this is the first program that has aired outside of the Bush administration. That's right, we live in a new era now. And it's only appropriate that because we're in a new era, because things have changed so much, that we dispense with the old theme and begin the show fresh with a brand new theme. So, ladies and gentlemen, the new edition of Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. As we live now in a new, happier era of things are different. You feel it. You feel it's not so gloomy and doomy. Of course, we're still going to talk about bad things. We're still going to talk about all the evils in the world. But it's very different, you know. This actually isn't working for me. I thought this would work before. The music's too happy. I can't deal with this much happiness. This is. I know the whole Obama thing. It's great, and I'm feeling very uplifted and had a great time over the last week. But I need more of a sense of urgency or something like that. You know. Yeah, no, the harps. No, it's just not working. I can't do this. We had another theme that we were working with. Just turn this one off. All right. I'm sorry, folks. I practiced this. I just didn't talk over the music before. It's not until you do that you realize that something just doesn't work. It sounded good just listening to the music. It captured my mood, and I was really into it. But this is just one of the rough patches in the road. We have to. Redraw the landscape, as it were. And we'll get through this. Do we have that other one? There was another one that I think had a bit more of a sense of, I guess, drama and urgency. Oh, God. All right. I'll give this a shot. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Oh, you know, every time that happens, I feel like I'm going to get stabbed by somebody. What is this, some detective show? Oh, this is awful. No, this is too stressful. I mean, yeah, this will definitely be good for reading bad news, but it's a little too much. What we need is something sort of in between the two of these. Yeah, if I was writing a murder mystery, this would be perfect music, but this is... No, this is... And we don't have the old theme, do we? Let's fade it down, all right? Let's just... I'm so sorry. This is not supposed to happen like this. Okay, so now what? Now we have nothing. No theme. All right. I have nobody to blame but myself, and I take full responsibility for this. We are going to be using a new theme. That much is clear. The old theme, it's gone. Forget it. Goodbye. Finished. No more. Those are the old days. The old days are gone. The new days are here, and with the new days, we need a new sound. Unfortunately, those two sounds were definitely not it. All right, we're going to go back to the drawing board on this. If anybody out there has suggestions on what would be a good theme, please write to us, otw@2600.com. And, and if it's anything like that, don't make my mistake. Read things over the music first and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, don't bother sending it to us. Wow, okay, I learned something today. I'd like to stick with Philip Glass, actually, since this is open to everybody now. We've used Philip Glass for previous shows, we've used him for this show, and the music just sort of works for us. So if there's anything out there that that we haven't already used, that's I'm definitely open to that. But we have, I guess, another week to worry about this. It has been an amazing week. I went down to D.C. as I said I was going to do. In fact, I went down to Philadelphia, too, to watch the Obama train make its way from Philadelphia to D.C., and actually got to see it. Got to see it go by in a place in Delaware. And lo and behold, he was Obama and Michelle were out there at the back of the train waving at everybody. And it was really a touching sight. It was pretty incredible. We have some excerpts, actually, that I'd like to play during the hour of some of the things that happened when I went down to D.C. Now, let me tell you, D.C., I've never seen it like this. I've never seen D.C. in this kind of a mood, where everybody was just so deliriously happy. And I know, you know, a lot of people are saying, okay, you know, reality is going to set in. Well, you know what, folks? It hasn't really set in yet. What I have seen since Obama took office, I've seen some pretty incredible statements. I've seen the promise to close Guantanamo, the actual signing of legislation to stop this. I've seen strong words against torture. I've seen Freedom of Information Act encouraged. The most recent thing, was an interview just yesterday, his first interview since becoming president. And who is it with? Al Arabiya, the Arab Television Network. And what an incredible symbolic gesture that is. Let's just listen to what happened there. Obama expressed optimism about the prospect of peace between Israel and the Palestinians, but he said a peace accord will take time and require new thinking about the problems of the Middle East as a whole. Obama's comments came during his first formal television interview as president with a correspondent from Al Arabiya, the Dubai-based satellite network aimed at Arab audiences. The president sat for the interview at the White House moments after officially dispatching George Mitchell, his special envoy for Middle East peace, to the region last evening. Now listen to what he says. All too often the United States starts by dictating in the past on some of these issues, and we don't always know all the factors that are involved. So let's listen. He's going to be speaking to all of the major parties involved, and he will then report back to me. From there, we will formulate a specific response. The administration will... According to Robert Wood, State Department spokesman, the administration will actively and aggressively seek a lasting peace, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing we've heard before. But it's the way that this was said, actually appearing before an Arab audience. Something that I don't think... I know Bush did talk to Al Arabiya, I think back in 2007, but it was mostly in a defensive posture, saying that we're not doing bad things by... bombing cities and invading countries and things like that, whereas Obama is appearing before this audience saying, you know, we've been wrong in the past, and it's time for us to take a new stance here and to start afresh, and all kinds of really powerful symbolic gestures that I think will be received well, hopefully in this country as well as overseas. There was that. There are all kinds of other really cool things going on. So, you know, those people who still believe that it's going to be the same, you know, I think slowly you're being proven wrong. And hopefully you'll accept that at some point. Now, of course, if I'm proven wrong and he turns out to do the same things everybody else has done, I'll be the first to admit it. Well, maybe the second or third. But point is, you got to celebrate the good when it happens. And so far, I have seen a lot of good. I've seen a tremendous amount. And I think how we react to that will determine how much further it goes. So when we see good things happen, we should rejoice and support them. Now, getting back to D.C., what I saw in D.C. over the last few days, I was down there from Sunday until Wednesday. It was simply a city in ecstasy. Because keep in mind, about 90% of Washington, D.C. supported Barack Obama and did not support George W. Bush. It's kind of ironic, but when you consider the number of people actually live in Washington, D.C., it's not so surprising. A large African-American population there, and a lot of people seeing what was bad about George W. Bush didn't really reflect the rest of the country, unfortunately. However, now it does. And that really meant a lot. It meant an incredible amount. Now, we have some audio things. Actually, what are we listening to here? This is an interesting story here. This is actually to sort of sum up the mood of the city. This is a fire alarm. It was really loud, too. That's about how loud it was. You know, I'm going to keep it going this loud just so you can appreciate this. This was a fast food joint that I happened to stop in. I won't say the name of it, but it's a chain they have down there. They don't really have it up here. And it's pretty popular. It's gotten good reviews. Everybody was in such a good mood that nobody cared there was a fire alarm going. The place was jam-packed with people, and nobody was complaining. Yeah, there was something going on. The building wasn't burning or anything like that. But this noise was happening for maybe over an hour before somebody finally figured out how to turn it off. And when, of course, they did turn it off, the place erupted in cheers. But there were firemen coming in, and all they were doing was buying sodas and hamburgers and things like that. They were really evacuating the place. Everybody was just in such a good mood that a noise like this wasn't pissing anybody off. It was the most incredible thing. And I just think that this sort of summarizes... you know what? It's not working anymore. It's starting to piss me off. Okay. that kind of typifies the mood that people were in at that time. But actually, I want to go to something else that I recorded the day before. This was actually on Martin Luther King Day, the 19th, on Monday, the observed Martin Luther King Day. Of course, his real birthday is on the 15th. This probably was the best Martin Luther King Day ever because it was the eve of the Barack Obama inauguration. And it was just this mood everywhere of festivity, of happiness. You know, I'd have to say, and someone feel free to dispute this or correct me, this had to have been the happiest occasion in African-American history because there was no clear-cut victory in the civil rights movement. There was no day of celebration when slavery ended. It didn't happen just like that. But this one event of a half black guy, he's not even 100% black, he's half black. And that's significant enough for people to simply turn out by the millions and be happier than they've ever been in their lives because of that one symbolic thing right there. And, you know, I wish more people could have experienced this. A lot of people I know stayed away. They didn't want anything to do with this. They thought the crowds would be unmanageable. There were lots of crowds, but that mood of happiness is something that you so rarely see. And people that you know have been through a lot in their lives, to see them smiling so broadly and to converse with them and to share stories with them and to just learn so much, that's something that we should move towards, not away. Anyway, here's a piece that I recorded the eve of the inauguration. I was actually... standing in line at a weird event. I'll let myself explain it.
Hey, it's Emmanuel. It's January 19th. I'm in a place where everybody told me not to go, Washington, D.C., right before the inauguration of Barack Obama. And it's an amazing experience so far. I've been here since yesterday. And just the feeling in the city, the anticipation, the smiles, the friendliness, people coming from all over the world to see this event, it's like... nothing I've really seen before. I've never seen people this happy about something that's real. And by real, I mean not a football team winning a pennant or the new year starting or something like that. This is actual political change that seems the entire city of Washington, D.C. is has gotten behind this. Even the advertisements in the subway stations, the metro stations, from companies like IKEA have slogans saying things like embrace change. And in fact, if you go to embracechange09.com, you'll see a big IKEA Obama type of a thing. Pepsi's gotten into it. They have signs everywhere that say hope and joy and all kinds of things with the Pepsi logo in the middle, sort of looking Obama-ish. All kinds of pictures of Barack Obama outside restaurants, on streets. Everybody's selling all kinds of material, buttons and shirts and pennants and you name it. I've never seen this kind of patriotic fervor in this manner before. You see American flags in places where you never would expect to see them. And I only wonder what it's going to be like tomorrow. Right now, it's Martin Luther King Day, and it's been an amazing day so far. And I've actually managed to get myself into one of the inaugural balls, which I'm currently online outside of the Renaissance Hotel to get into. I'm here with Voltaire, actually, from Off the Hook. Say hello, Voltaire.
Hello.
Isn't this weird that we're standing here in line to get into a presidential inaugural ball?
Yeah, and it's very cold out. But
it's not that cold. Well, we're dressed like... this is insane. I had to dress in a tuxedo, and I think you can attest to how difficult that was for me.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun.
No, it wasn't fun for anybody. And I'm getting a little bit more comfortable, I think, but it was so difficult just fitting into all these things and putting them on just right.
I still have to find somebody to tie my tie. So.
Yeah, you haven't tied your tie yet, and hopefully we can find somebody to do that for you. So we're coming up on some kind of security check here, so I guess I should sign off for now. But we are going to see what happens at this ball. It should be interesting, a lot of fun, something different. And we'll keep posting updates.
Oh, boy, what a strange event that was, going to an inaugural ball. There must have been about 5,000 people there, all of them dressed up in tuxedos and gowns and combinations of such. And, you know, I sort of thought maybe Obama would show up to this thing because it was sponsored by some Illinois group, some Illinois electoral group or something like that. It was the night before. I guess it was just too many people there or something, so that didn't happen. And if he did show up, I don't think we would have even known about it, because this took place over three stories of a hotel, and it was very hard to find your way around, and there were crowds everywhere. So it wasn't really something that once you got in there you expected to have happen. But the ball itself, I honestly don't know what the draw is for these things. It was great to go, and I want to thank Packrat, who got us into this. It was an experience, but it's not something I could do on a regular basis. You know, getting all dressed up in fancy clothes and hang out with all these people who can't hear what you're saying anyway, just watching fat people get drunk. It's something to experience, yes, but not something that I would gravitate towards. Although it was weird. It was weird being able to walk into a store here locally, get my measurements all taken, and then be able to walk into a store in Washington, D.C. and pick up a tuxedo, where 1,400 people in one day did the same thing in that one store. So it was this whole strange society that I somehow got sucked into for a very brief period of time. Well, let's hear how that ended. I'm going to jump to the end of the night now. I think I'm in the middle of the actual ball, where there's loud music playing, and I think I also might have had a drink or two.
Hey, it's Emmanuel. It's January 19th.
That's me again. I'm sorry. I have to advance to the next track. Sorry about that. Here I am later on that evening.
Well, this ball is just about over. It's been going for a number of hours now. I think I learned something tonight. I think I learned I'm not much of a ball person. You dress up in this really uncomfortable outfit, and you walk around with all these people, and it's really, really crowded, and it's really kind of strange and weird and uncomfortable, but there is some fun to be had. I mean,
wow, I sound really plastered, don't I?
Happy people. I mean, this is unprecedented just to have something like this in this country, this kind of a change, this kind of a new feeling, a hope for the future. And you see it on the faces of so many different people, young, old, black, white. It doesn't matter. I've never experienced anything like this on this level that I can remember. And I've been here for the Bush inauguration and for a number of other political events. But never have I seen this kind of hope in Washington. So the question is, will this remain? Will this continue beyond January 20th, 2009? One can only hope it will. My plan tonight is to continue to stay up. This ball is winding down. It's about 2 in the morning. And I imagine people are already lining up on the mall to watch the inauguration tomorrow on the Jumbotrons, and also to line the parade route on Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm probably going to choose the latter. That way I can actually see Obama's limousine go by, maybe even Obama walking down the street himself. That'll be something to remember. Tonight, though, was fun. I don't really go to balls very often, but it was interesting seeing all these people. I had some good conversations. Saw a lot of happy faces.
Well, I don't know how much I had to drink, but...
doing this a lot, though.
Wow, do I ever sound out of it.
It's really something. And I'm really looking forward to changing back into civilian clothes, because I gotta tell you, my feet are hurting, everything I'm wearing right now is just very tight and constricting, and I guess you get used to it after a while, but
I don't know how much longer
I'm gonna get used to it tonight. That's
ramble on for. If I don't say anything interesting in the next minute, I'm going to move on.
This ball incidentally took 3 floors of the Renaissance Hotel. I don't know if I ever found all the rooms. There just seem to be different kinds of parties going on every single area.
Yeah, I think I'm running out of things to say.
Not at all, just a very positive mood.
All right, you made that clear. Okay, so that's me at the ball. As you can hear, the music has stopped. But I guess it's going to start again. They have a tendency of doing that. Yeah, it was an
incredible... I can hardly wait to see what tomorrow will bring.
Uh-huh.
This will definitely be history.
Now, that's an understatement. You know, I honestly don't remember saying any of that. But it was a good thing. It was a good mood and a nice experience. But as I mentioned... it was about 2 a.m. at that point, and the Washington Metro was going to be actually the Washington Metro shut down at around 2. It must have been a little bit before 2, because I remember I hopped on the Metro, and it opened again at 4, which usually it doesn't open until much later than that, and it was packed. It was packed at 4 a.m. Simply incredible. I believe I have a recording of that when that happened. But keep in mind, there's one thing that's taken out of the equation. When you go to a ball and you stay there till 2 a.m. and then you get on the Metro at 4 a.m. to go out to the mall. And by mall, we don't mean the mall you shop in. We mean the mall between the Washington Monument and the Capitol. There's no sleep involved. Yeah. So actually, a lot of people stayed up all night long just to be a part of this. And it was also very, very cold outside. But you know what? None of that mattered. None of that mattered to anybody, because this was true history being made. And yeah, that was something I think I'll never forget. Now, let's jump ahead to just after 4 a.m, which miraculously I think I got over all the drinking I had done. I don't think I drank that much. I just sounded really out of it. I think the music was doing it more to me than anything else. But this is the scene from the Metro station at about 4 a.m.
All The scene is Lanfan Plaza metro station. It's about 4:30 in the morning. The metro usually isn't open this time of day, but it's open now. It opened about a half hour ago, and this whole system is completely packed with people. All of them are in an extremely jovial mood. There's a lot of cheering going on, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of smiling faces, and everyone's just on their way to some part of the inauguration, on the mall or in the parade route on Pennsylvania Avenue. Just an incredible amount of activity. This is rush hour traffic at 4:30 in the morning in Washington, D.C. You just don't see this kind of thing. I imagine it's going to just get more and more crowded as the day goes on. Keep in mind, things don't really begin until around 9 or 10 in the morning. It's 4:30 now. And, of course, the parade doesn't begin until about 2:30. So you can imagine how crazy it's going to get over the hours ahead. Just an unbelievable situation here in D.C. And very glad I'm here because this is history in the making. And we haven't even seen the history start yet.
May I have your attention, customers? Please be advised, all Metro Rail trains will stop at the end of each station platform today. Please rail along the platform. Customers are reminded for your safety. Please step back from the platform edge. Thank you, and have a great day.
Walter, any words?
Good morning, everybody. It's 4 a.m. and
4:30 a.m. Let's not exaggerate.
But I don't think I've ever seen the New York City subway so crowded at 6 and 9, let alone 4 a.m.
Well, it's pretty crowded at 6 because that's rush hour, but 4:30, yeah. It wouldn't be crowded at 4:30 like this.
No. And it wouldn't be a very excited crowd either. It would be a very miserable crowd. But this crowd, it's like election day all over again. Everybody's getting excited for everything. It's like so, everybody's all riled up. It's like the Yankees are winning the Super Bowl, even though they don't play football. And everybody in the world is from New York, and the Mets didn't exist. It's like everybody's a Yankee fan, and they've won, and everybody's so excited and riled up. It's awesome.
It's like they know they're going to win, because this isn't like Election Day in that we don't know what the outcome's going to be until it happens. We know what's going to happen. We know this is history. We have had plenty of time to plan for it. And I don't know what that train is doing. It keeps stopping. Yeah, I'm amazed by it. I don't know. Look at that train. It just, like, started to pull out and then stopped. And I don't know what. They're not used to this here. They're not used to running trains this early in the morning. Yeah, but this train, it sort of left and then it stopped. It's like they changed their mind. Now, why is this train empty? We just got off a train that was completely full. This train has almost no people on it. They must have skipped stations or something. Wow, okay. Well, this train's here now. We should probably go outside, otherwise we'll be shut out of everything. Plan is just walk up and down the mall, well, walk up the mall anyway, and then hopefully have enough time to get to the parade route. I think it makes more sense to go to the parade route than the mall.
Don't we have fresh passes?
No, we got nothing. We got nothing except our wits. So let's see how far that gets us. All right, and that was the scene at 4:30 in the morning in the metro station on January 20th. I'd never seen anything like that. The place was just filled with people, everybody extremely happy, everybody in a really jovial, festive mood. And then when we got outside, keep in mind, it was dark. It was still dark. It was cold. But everybody was out there. Everybody simply walking around looking for the best spot to be. I didn't really understand it myself because pretty much all the spots were the same because you were basically looking at a jumbotron if you were on the mall. Those people who had tickets to the actual event, obviously they weren't there. They were going to go to the actual event, and I imagine they didn't have to go there at 4:30 in the morning. But the people who were doing this, they were content to be outside for that entire period of time just to watch the inauguration on a big screen. You know, it was incredible. Now, like I said, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to actually make it to the parade route. But I wanted to see this.
And I'm glad I did, because this was a very interesting sight as well, as you'll hear this next bit, which took place on the mall between the Capitol Building and the Washington Monument. I think it's about, what, 5 in the morning now?
It's just after 5 o'clock.
Thank you.
We're here on the mall, and it's filling up with people. It's still dark outside. It's cold. But all these people are gathering with signs and various articles of clothing and buttons to identify themselves as Obama supporters and where they're from in the country.
Obama supporters and nobody else, really.
Yeah, there aren't really any Bush supporters here, I don't think.
Walking. The protesters are Obama supporters.
No protesters I can see.
The people that would be protesters, like myself and I guess everybody here, would be normally protesting.
Yeah, normally these are the people that would be protesting, that's true. I think for once, they're here to celebrate, so
yeah.
It's going to be really cool just to have that feeling. I guess we're on the mall now. We could stay here and watch the inauguration and not have to go through any more security checks. We didn't go through any security checks to get here, actually.
I almost got run over by a motorcycle right there.
Yeah, we almost got run over by a motorcycle, but that's not really a security check. That's more like a security threat against us. A lot of different police, but you know it's not like Times Square on New Year's. You don't see cops everywhere. I mean I know they're around. I know they're everywhere, but we just can't see them. But they're not in your face as much as they are in New York. What is in your face a lot are porta potties. Look at that. They just lined up forever. It's just picture the entire mall with porta potties along the side, going from the Washington Monument to the Capitol Building.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. You have. I mean, you know, if you want to count them all, you probably have several thousand. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow, the porta potties. Yeah, that was a sight to behold. And if you didn't see that, you missed something. You missed something really staggering. They were just everywhere. I don't think anybody lacked for a porta potty during this event. Again, D.C. is not really very good at handling crowds for the most part. There are a lot of mixed signals. I know a lot of people didn't even get in. I'm not quite sure how, because all you had to do is pretty much walk around. If somebody told you you couldn't go down a certain street, you simply walked to the next street, and usually you could do it. And of course, you had to get there early. If you got there at 9:45 or something like that, or a few minutes before the inauguration began, yeah, you might have had some difficulty. But there were all kinds of confusing issues surrounding what stations will be closed and access to various things, and it's obvious that the infrastructure there just is not equipped to handle so many people at one time. For instance, if you close a subway station in New York, the tradition is to provide some alternative means to get to the next station, such as a shuttle bus or something like that. And in D.C.'s case, they simply stand around looking confused, and there's really nobody there to explain anything. But you know what? People dealt with this. People dealt with the confusion. They dealt with the crowds. They dealt with the frostbite because everybody was just so happy that this was actually taking place. And that's something that I think we can't ever forget. It's just that immense feeling of happiness that comes so rarely to so many of us. And I guess the best thing to do is to make the most out of that and to see if we can actually translate that into something that actually is change. And I believe we can if we believe that change is possible. I think a lot of people are being shocked that, hey, maybe change actually is possible. Maybe we will see something different happen. These are the formulative days. It's just been a week. So we'll know probably in the next few months if something will actually happen or if this is just a lot of grandstanding. Okay, let's go back to the mall. It's a little bit later on. I think this is the point where we're actually trying to escape the mall and make it to our final destination, which was Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right behind us. Okay, the crowd has really grown in size now. We're in a huge, huge mob of people as we're all sort of walking towards the Capitol building. Some people running, in fact. Boy, I hope there isn't a stampede here. This is really kind of overly exuberant. I don't really know what the advantage is to being closer to the Capitol because it's all on a bunch of jumbotrons anyway. I guess it's sort of a feeling of being closer to the action. But, wow, this crowd just keeps growing and growing, and it's not even 5:30 in the morning yet. And the spirit is very upbeat and positive. I'm not quite sure how far we're going to get before something happens, and we're not able to go any further. Just this crowd keeps getting bigger and bigger. we're getting to the point where people are stopping. So I imagine we've reached that point where you can't get any further. You know, Walter, our plan was to check this out and then leave, but if we get much further into this crowd, we won't be able to leave because it's getting so thickly packed with people.
I'm good at escaping from crowds.
Yeah, I'm good at escaping too, but we need to see where we're going. For one thing, it's pitch black dark out, and we can't even see where the exits are. Just a lot of people here standing in a mob. We're probably about a mile away from the Capitol still. So it's far away. You want to walk against the crowd? I don't know if that's a good idea. I think what we should do, all right, the best
walk
way to handle this situation. Well, ultimately, we want to get.
Then let's walk that.
But that's further. Well, we can try, I guess.
We walk diagonally.
We're going to walk towards
a little further over.
Pennsylvania Avenue, I think. I'm not really good with this city. Man, people throw out chairs. You know, I haven't even thought about that.
Do you tickets to sit over here?
Do you see anybody taking tickets?
No, but I mean, like...
Well, no, you don't, but...
To walk the actual thing?
We ought to keep moving.
So where do you need tickets?
For the actual, like, grandstand area. You know, we really should discuss this after we get out, you know. I guess people are content to sit here for the next 5 hours or so. Which really isn't so bad. I've done the same thing in Times Square, and for much lesser reasons. This is real history here.
Oh, you can see that screen in there.
People watching movies on laptops on the grass. I guess that's a good way to pass the time.
It's going to be worse than that.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a wall of porta potties that we have to somehow get past. I've never climbed a porta potty before, but I'm not averse to that if necessary. All right, we're getting closer to the edge, but it really is a barricade of porta potties. I'm not quite sure how we're going to get past that. We have to somehow exit this area. The idea was to see it, and we certainly have seen it. I didn't think we'd see this much this early in the day, but boy, it's like this is what you'd expect 5 minutes before the event itself.
Oh, sorry.
It's hard not to step on people. You can barely see them. Okay, we're in a clearing now. Now we've just got to get past these porta potties, and we're home free. I think we're the only people trying to get away from this. All right, now let's walk further up, and hopefully we can cut out. Yeah, there's a street there, so I think we can exit at that point. These are very big porta potties. I'm impressed. As big as a New York City apartment, almost. Now, I see a gate surrounding this area. This might not be as easy as we thought it would be. Okay, how do we leave? Is that even possible? Looks like they have this whole area cordoned off. Are they letting people out? I don't think they are. I don't think anybody wants to get out. Well, we could slip through here, but then we haven't really gotten anywhere. Actually, we could get out that way. Excuse me, is there a way out from here?
We think if you go straight across... There might be, but we don't know what.
Okay, let's try to get out while we still can. Moving the barricade physically, I'm sure that's an offense. And we are now outside, technically. Well, why would we go that way? We should go this way. This is the street. Hopefully we can get out.
In the street that way?
Well, this is the street, but can we even go down that street is the question. I see people walking. So let's walk with them. Hopefully we can... actually leave. So that whole area there across the street has no people in it. I feel kind of privileged that walking, we're in front of everybody, we're walking down this pathway that nobody else is in. And I guess, once again, unintentionally, we've gotten to the head of the line. We really are in front of everybody. But, you know, we don't want to be. We don't want to be here. No, I don't want to be here. I mean, I don't want to be here for five hours.
No autographs, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much. Everyone's looking at us like we're somebody.
Yeah.
Well, we have to be. See, if I was more outgoing, I could get everybody to cheer just by holding the microphone up. But I'm not going to do that because I'm not outgoing. We seem to be walking clear across the whole area here, so we're going to wind up on precisely the wrong side, which is fine because we can just simply figure out a different way to get over Pennsylvania Avenue. Still walking past this massive mob. We're all the way in the front. Of course, I think we're going to come to another gate and have the exact same problem we had on the other side. Yeah, it looks like there's people negotiating up ahead. The barricade got lifted for them. Hopefully, it'll get lifted for us. Okay, we're back on the street.
I can't tell you. I don't know where. I'm not even going to try this.
What's the best way to get to Pennsylvania Avenue?
Pennsylvania Avenue, you got to go up to 7th.
Uh huh.
And Pennsylvania Avenue is about 4 blocks past 7th.
So we can cut through the street there?
The next street that cuts across, follow that up, and it'll take you right there.
Awesome.
You'll be able to go past Pennsylvania, so you'll know
where
to get to it.
All right, thanks. Okay, I consider it a success. We're on a street now. There's no cars on it, but we're outside the crowd, and we know how to get to Pennsylvania Avenue, so we're just going to walk down the street now.
Yeah.
No cars to worry about. No people to worry about. And, oh, the porta potties are on this side, too. How'd they do that? They doubled them up, I guess. Interesting. This certainly is educational.
Yeah, I seem more fascinated by the porta potties than anything else, but it really was a sight to behold. I've never seen so many in one place. That basically is the end of the traveling saga. We eventually made it over to Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, the thing is, I mentioned this in the last piece, that we kept unintentionally getting into the front of massive crowds, and it really was unintentional. It happened again later on when we were trying to get to Pennsylvania Avenue. Volter and I actually had to detour into a coffee shop because it was just so cold and nobody was moving in the line. So we actually waited on another line to get something just to warm ourselves up, because it was about maybe 10 degrees Fahrenheit at that point, if you include wind chill and all that. Pretty cold, not even light yet. So we had to wait on a security line to get into a coffee shop. We had to be searched to go into the coffee shop, because I guess it bordered Pennsylvania Avenue, and if we blew that up, then it could affect the parade. So we had to wait about 20 minutes to do that, and then once we got in, we hung out there for a while, and then by the time we got out, the line basically went about a mile, and we were at the very front of it. So we came up with a plan. We just sort of ambled over to the front of the line, because we sure didn't want to walk all the way down 2 blocks when we were just there. So we sort of just merged with the front of the crowd, and that put us right in the very front again. I guess that was intentional, but it was a lot easier than it should have been. But I think Volter kind of made up for it, because he accidentally found himself back outside once we had cleared security, simply by stepping into a building to get warm when we were on Pennsylvania Avenue. He found that the only exit was behind the security line, and he almost had to wait hours and hours to get back in. Fortunately, he figured out that simply by walking 1 block over, you could immediately get back in. Little things like that kind of were the tricks you had to know how to play in order to make the day a success. I do have one more piece. This actually illustrates what was happening on Pennsylvania Avenue. Basically, at the moment that the inauguration began, that the swearing-in began, they piped in audio from the local public radio station in Washington, D.C. There was no video on Pennsylvania Avenue, but we could hear what was going on, incessant babbling by the commentators telling you where everybody was standing and what people were wearing and things like that. That was kind of annoying, but we did get the gist of what was happening. And there's one point where the commentator says that the Bush administration has come to an end, and you just hear the reaction of the crowd to that, and that will be followed by the actual swearing-in ceremony, where, yes, you will hear the now-famous stumbling swearing-in screw-up that I thought I heard. I was listening, and it just sounded like, wait a minute, did he get the line wrong or something like that? And, of course, that turned into a big deal later on.
But let's listen. This is how it sounded standing on the street. You can hear in the distance the sound of the NPR station and the reaction of the crowd. Keep in mind, this is not the inauguration itself. This is a crowd of people standing on Pennsylvania Avenue reacting to what they're hearing over the loudspeakers.
Of the United States Capitol receiving a round of applause. It is now 12:04 Eastern Time. It means the presidency of George W. Bush has ended.
The United States. Honorable John G. Roberts, Jr., who will administer the presidential oath of office. Everyone, please stand.
Of course, we're already standing.
And everyone stands, including Michelle Obama, who is holding in her hand a copy.
Execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
I will execute
the office faithfully to the office of President of the United States.
The
will, to the best of my ability,
to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help you God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Yeah, that woman's voice could peel paint, but it was a happy time.
That was the highlight of the morning. Really? Yes. Now they're waving to this enormous crowd, which stretches back to the Washington Monument and beyond. And the Marine Band is playing Hail to the Chief for yet another President of the United States. And the Obama is still holding. I'm on
at this point, we've been standing in the same place for at least 5 hours.
I'm told that it's going to be relatively short, 17 minutes or so. We'll see if it works out that way at the end. Here comes Senator Feinstein.
To present the 44th President of these United States.
You heard a chant over the loudspeakers, and that chant will be picked up by the crowd that we're standing in.
Thank you.
And that was the beginning of the speech. Now, I have to say, I was so incredibly impressed and moved by what happened at that point, where you had thousands and thousands of people standing on Pennsylvania Avenue. You had civilians, you had policemen, you had soldiers, you had all kinds of officials, and everybody just came to a dead stop at that point and was completely silent and listened to the entire speech. Of course, breaking for various cheers and things like that. But it was just incredible the rapt attention that people were paying to what was being said at that moment. And it was just one of the most incredible moments I think I've ever witnessed. And I'm just happy that so many people were there to share that and to be a part of history. And the thing that of course, we were all waiting for was the parade. Now, that was delayed, and we didn't know why it was being delayed. It was supposed to start, I think, at 2:30, and 3:30 had come, and still no sign of this parade. And that's what we were all there for, standing there freezing our asses off. And it was really, nobody was complaining, but obviously people were suffering. And so basically what wound up happening, of course, was that Ted Kennedy had
had a seizure and had been taken away by ambulance at the Capitol building. And that, of course, delayed things. But eventually the parade did make its way. We were afraid. We were afraid that the parade was going to take hours and hours to pass by with all kinds of marching bands and things like that. But luckily for us and for our fingers and toes, Barack Obama and his wife actually came walking down the street shortly after the parade began. And it was a big thrill. Two times in a couple of days, seeing Obama in the flesh in fairly close proximity. You know, I'm not much for celebrity spotting, but that was something. That was definitely history. All right, but now we have to get down to business. Now we have to get down to brass tacks and make sure that things actually change. We're off to a good start. Things seem positive. A lot of changes on the horizon. A lot of bold actions and symbolic moves have been made. So I hope in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead that we see more of this, that things actually change, that we repair a lot of the damage that has occurred over the past 8 years or so. And I'd like to go out tonight with a song. Actually, I've been hearing a lot of Stevie Wonder lately, and it's great. It's great to hear Stevie Wonder again because it sums up so much. And this particular song, I think, sums up the mood of the crowd, how everybody was feeling, the happiness, the festivity, the celebration. And I hope to hear more of that, to hear more such thoughts and feelings and expressions. That's it for us tonight. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and pay special attention to the happy sounds of this song and of others to come. Good night.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say to do. So much concerned but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing your song, telling how you are gonna change right from wrong. 'Cause if you
hang on, you know what, I think I messed up the outro as well as the intro this week, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's just stop. No, it was Stevie Wonder, but that was the wrong message. That wasn't the message I wanted to send. That we're supposed to play that in about 6 months, right? No, the message I want to send is one of happiness. That wasn't happiness. That's the song. That's the song I meant to play. I'm sorry. And again, this kind of summed up the feeling of festivity. This actually is a song that was for Martin Luther King Jr. A couple of years before the holiday was actually awarded, the Martin Luther King Day, which people were fighting to get in the early 80s, was finally awarded, I believe, in 1983. This is the song, this is the happiness, this is the feeling of joy that people were experiencing in Washington, D.C. We'll see you next week. Good night. Set aside.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.